Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen. It's Christmas!
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. You're feeling festive, I'm assuming, now.
Well, it's because we saw Muppet's Christmas Carol together last night.
It's not called Muppet's Christmas Carol. It's called The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Muppet's Christmas Carol.
It's not The Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Muppets Do Christmas.
That's the one.
Muppets Take Carol on a beach holiday to Treasure Island.
Poor old Carol. Mm. We went to go see Muppet Christmas Carol last night at the Prince Charles Cinema. Our favourite cinema in London, at least it's mine anyway, for a festive sing-along screening where they put the words up on screen so you can join in with all the singing fun. It's my, I think it's my fourth year in a row going to the sing-along because it's usually around my birthday, so sometimes I might go for my birthday as like a little birthday treat. But I bloody love it. It might be my favourite Christmas movie.
Oh, that's
I know, it's a big claim. Call because you've got like It's a Wonderful Life, Home Alone, Elf is, you know, really high up on that list.
Die Hard.
I don't classify
Lethal
it as a Christmas
weapon.
Movie, neither that one.
Harry Potter.
Ghostbusters 2. So there's like, you know, there's loads of films that you could put up on that list, but it's very, very high up on there. And I do enjoy the sing-along aspect of it.
The fact that you have now seen this 4 years in a row at the cinema, that makes sense because not only did you know everything that was going to happen, I don't think I've seen it since I was a kid. I was told there would be loads of people there in our group. It just ended up being me, my lady partner, and Luke.
Yeah, so usually my friends and I get together and we go down, but it was my fault because I'd arranged it late this year because it's been quite a busy time here in the office. So I just fell behind on getting it arranged. By the time I did manage to get it arranged, a few people said they were going to come down and then eventually just sort of pulled out. So it ended up just being, a third wheel. I did say you can guys go sit alone. Like, you guys go sit and I'll just sit on my own over here and that's fine. But yeah, you said that I could sit with you.
At one point, my lady partner went to the toilet, as she is wont to do at least 4 or 5 times within a 90-minute movie. And I thought, shall I put my arm round Luke as a joke? But then I suddenly thought, like, oh my God, like, the climate these days. What if you did, like, be like, oh, that made me feel uncomfortable. And I'm, like, there's a, I don't think there is, but I'm your boss. And then it's just weird then, isn't
it? You're not only my boss, you're also my HR department. If I've got any complaints, I would
judge, jury and executioner. I should abuse this more.
But it was a great, great screening. So answer the questions that we did get on Twitter. Yes, they did show the missing song that's only in the VHS release. They show it prior to the screening so you can get and kind of get your vocals warmed up. It's not really my favourite song. I'm quite glad that it's cut. Although the reprisal makes more sense at the end when you do have that song in there, because that song's called When Love Is Gone, and then the end you've got When Love Is Found. So it kind of makes sense that way.
Luke warned us before it started. He said, just when I came to see this last year,
it was a couple of years ago. It was when I went for my birthday with my then girlfriend, now wife.
Yeah, you said that your lady partner was taken aback by the fact, like, she knew you would sing, She just didn't know you would sing in the voices of the Muppets.
Well, that's kind of the fun aspect of going to Muppet Christmas Carol sing-along, is that you get to do the voices as well.
Mm.
It's just more fun that way.
And I thought, I wonder how much this is going to be then. And you do. You do. It's like it's like you're going crazy. It was very nice.
Yeah.
It was a very festive atmosphere.
And we've also got to give a bit of a shout-out to Chet Howell.
Chet Howell.
Who?
What is he? Like a secret agent?
Well, he sounds like
one,
doesn't
Carpenter.
He? So Chet, but I believe, Chet Howell DeHart, I think is his full name.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, I am not.
DeHart?
Yeah.
Chet Howell DeHart.
Mm.
That's a hell of a name. You should make sure you pursue a career in something, you know, that has international in the name.
CHDH.
Yeah, wow.
So the Prince Charles downstairs for Screen One, they have a big blackboard, a big chalkboard, and people can write up suggestions of future films that they want shown there, or like, you know, marathons or anything like that. And he sent us a picture of the request, excuse me, that he put up, which is Wrestle Along Part 2.
Ah, yeah, I saw that. That was really nice. But I thought it said please.
Mm, wrestle along, please.
Because the part two looks like plz, PLZ.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, oh, that's an old one. Because we've already done that.
Or P plus two.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But what he meant was part two. So he's put up there for another wrestle along screening of the Prince Charles.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for leaving that up there for us. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself, though. Slightly concerned that, especially because it was the three of us, you might think it was weird. And I didn't know that you hadn't
that
seen
it. That ship sailed long ago.
And I didn't know you hadn't seen it since you were a kid, so you might not remember all the songs or anything like that. Because I do know the songs.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, like, overall, great movie, because what a performance by Michael Caine.
Oh, wasn't it great?
That guy just does it so straight. I think he does one gag in the entire film, and it's where he points at another gravestone, hoping that it isn't his gravestone.
Yeah, spoilers.
And it's a... spoiling a 19th century novel. And
I did think it was very brave of Charles Dickens to try and adapt the Muppets.
Mm. But then everyone else is, like, you know, Muppeted up to the nines. And he's there doing this really Shakespearean performance. How brave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes a lot of balls and acting talent to do that against Muppets.
I thought it was tremendous. Would you like a Rusev Hay?
Sure.
Let's have this one from...
Great
let's
stalling.
Have this one from... That's far too long. Let's have this one from... Lee Jack
Half
Ryan.
Half of this podcast is you going from...
Well, it's because I thought I'd found one, and then it was one I wasn't going to read. I might read later on. This is from Lee Jack Ryan. Hi, guys. My name is Lee Ryan, and I live in Watford, but I moved here from Tipperary in Ireland 3 years ago. I heard people talk about their past experiences meeting wrestlers, so I thought I would do one. Why not I do one?
It's a long way to where he lives.
It certainly is.
I
went to my first ever wrestling show, which was TNA in Dublin when I was 11. Wow. I went and bought an MCMG t-shirt, that's Motor City Machine Guns, and went to sit down. As I sat down, a woman went to get a seat beside me, and it was Dixie Carter. She was such a nice person and surprisingly didn't care that she was sitting beside all these fans. She also got me to meet Jeff Hardy. I can clearly remember the main event of Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Kennedy, I think you'll find it was Mr. Anderson, for Jeff's version of the TNA title. It's not that clearly remembered. I really got really angry when they invited another kid in the ring to hold the belt. I hope you guys read this and just want to let you guys that I really look up to you two and love everything you do. I hope you guys have a great Christmas and a happy new year. Well, thank you very much, Lee Ryan. That is a wonderful email.
That's a terrible mistake, though. You should find better people to look up to.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there are so
much flattering.
Yes, so many better role models out there as opposed to you and I. So we've also got to say a bit of a thank you to Dan, Pledgehammer Dan, the mayor of Painesville, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, because he has sent us a care package.
It's been received.
It has been received. He's given us specific instructions to open it up on the Christmas show. So
It's going to be a boozy show, that is.
It's going to be a very boozy show.
We've already got a lot of German beer to drink.
And another shout out to Josh, who has also said that he's going to send over a care package as well. So we are going to be very stocked up in the run-up to Christmas. I just feel like, I mean, maybe people just want to send stuff across for the Christmas show. Or maybe just like little presents or anything like that.
Yeah, well, I imagine don't
spend a lot. Like, you know, if it's doofy stuff that you want to get, like, you want to get rid of around your house.
So our Christmas show is, if you weren't a fan last year, is where we just get drunk
and rarely talk about wrestling
and give each other presents and yeah, just we do a quiz and then we put that up on Christmas Day.
Yes,
that's our thing. Of course, we film it in advance. It's kind of one of the last things we do.
It's the precursor to our actual Christmas party.
Yeah, and then we'll just go out and keep drinking. And then be hungover on the last Friday.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun.
When I've got to edit all of those wrestle rambles.
Yes, well, we'll try and get ahead on them, I guess. But yeah, the that's what it's going to be. So if you want to send in presents, we're doing Secret Santa this year on air.
Yeah, so
I don't know how Datsun's going to factor into this because we've only got 3 mics.
Well, I guess he's just going to sit off camera and watch us have fun because he doesn't drink anyway, so he doesn't need to join in the frivolities.
We can set him up with some Smarties.
Yeah,
he likes Ribena.
And Oprah
judging
fruits.
By all the rubbish on his desk.
Oh well, yeah. You say Ribena, Pepsi Max, mate. Can't stop him from drinking it. But the other question I was going to ask is that last year, when it was just me and thee, we bought presents for each other. Are we not doing that this year?
Well, I thought not because Fakador will be here.
But I was going to buy him something as well. Because I've been planning like what I was going to get you for like the Christmas present like all year long.
So last year we had £30 limits.
Yeah.
And we got like 3 presents each.
That's right, yeah. Some of which Big Apple Takedown we've been using for the Patreon podcast. That'll also be, if you are a Podswafter, that'll be your Christmas bonus this year, will be excerpts from Big Apple Takedown.
I feel like if you get everyone a present, it will lessen the impact of...
People sending us presents.
That and the Secret Santa.
Mm.
Because then Secret Santa kind of becomes void.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good idea for your Christmas
present.
You
still
well.
Get me a present. I'm not going to stop you getting presents.
I may still do. But that is all we've got time for in this intro portion of the show. We'll be back after the show itself for some more of your emails and correspondence. We're going to be talking about Asuka's great run of form this last couple of weeks on SmackDown, leading into TLC this Sunday. Here's the show.
So, this weekend on Sunday, it's Asuka versus Becky Lynch versus Charlotte in what has become, I think it's taken a whole year, but WWE have properly booked a really, really engaging, on the level of how they treat the men's feuds, women's match.
This should be the main event of the show.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, there is nothing else on that card, with the exception of, say, Seth and Dean, that I think is warranted of the main event slot than this match.
Well, the mixed match challenge finals decide the Royal Rumble number 30 entrant.
Can you imagine that when WWE started Mixed Match Challenge 3 months ago, that our finalists, the whole tournament was built so it would end up being Jinder Mahal and Alicia versus R-Truth and Carmella, with the winners getting that number 30 Rumble spot. You have all of those massive stars they had in that tournament, and then all the injuries and whatnot.
Yeah, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Complete waste of time.
We'll do that on a Mixed Match Challenge episode of the Wrestle Ramble.
Well, I suppose we'll talk about it.
Never do.
We'll talk about it in the predictions, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, this was SmackDown's Go Home episode, the last real bit of WWE TV. I guess you've got 205 Live as
and
well.
And Mixed Match Challenge.
That happened, yeah, I guess chronologically, nitpicker. You had Raw on Monday, which, you know, was a pretty solid Go Home show, I thought. No big cliffhanger angles. But here we had Charlotte versus Asuka as a WrestleMania rematch. They did such a good job of building this up as a big-time main event for this show.
And it really felt like a big-time main event for the show as well. And I think that for that, it really, really delivered. So I thought, hands down, it was easily the best thing on this show. In what I thought was, like Raw, a very solid go-home show. I've had quite a few tweets in this morning saying, like, man, if you don't give this show a SmackDown, I'm going to sue you, or something
really?
Along those lines. And I'm like,
that's not how legal works.
Well, I was going to say, you better call your lawyers, mate, because it's not getting a SmackDown rating. Solid show, but certainly not a SmackDown show.
We'll make our closing arguments at the end to stay in the legal theme. But this Charlotte versus Asuka match, at the end, it was a really good match.
Yeah, really good.
And Becky was out for commentary.
No, she wasn't out for commentary. She's just there to sit and watch.
Just for ringside.
Yeah.
Asuka had just a direct-to-camera promo earlier on in the night, which was good. It was just like normal Asuka stuff. She did a bit of Japanese at the end. And then Charlotte, I thought, cut a really nicely presented promo right before the match. Like Kayla, was it Kayla? It was one of them.
Yeah.
Interviewed Charlotte as she's in Gorilla, which all of the Gorilla positions look the same.
Well, yeah, because they take the same Gorilla position and just move it to the various different locations they're in.
I just thought, wow, American stadium backgrounds are homogenous.
And they all bloody love WWE, because that's where they've got pictures on there, like Andre the Giant and whatnot.
But Charlotte like cuts a really solid promo about breaking streaks and whatnot, and then she goes out for the match, and it felt like a big time boxing.
I like that, because they do it in NXT all the time. If it's like the main event of the show, often they'll do like an interview just before people go out through the curtain. And I really like that. It's like, what are your final words just before we go out and have this match? I think it's a really nice presentation.
Yeah, but the actual match, Asuka was just killing it. I really like Charlotte, and Charlotte's a very good person for Asuka to work with. But like, as the title of this video implies, I thought Asuka was incredible in this match.
She has had a really good few weeks since like being inserted into this triple threat match at TLC. I think she's had a really, really strong couple of weeks. Just like she kind of feels special again, because they have tried their hardest to kill Asuka off in 2018. But she has come back almost stronger than ever because of that. And I think she's had a really good couple of weeks. I thought she was awesome in this match when she was making her comeback. Because Charlotte spent the whole match working her over, more or less. Like, it was back
I disagree. I think it was quite evenly matched.
I was just about to correct myself. It was back and forth. And then Charlotte was working her over and targeting the legs. And then Asuka made her comeback. Mm-hmm. And I thought her comeback was wicked. She was throwing loads of kicks. She was doing that thing where you grab someone's head and then give them loads of small kicks into their head. Thought it was really good. She did your favorite spot where you reverse the figure four, reverse the pressure.
It's not... Sure, okay. Well, I mean, it's one of those lies we all buy into as wrestling fans, that somehow transitions the hold onto the other person.
It's the same that when you throw someone against the rope, they're going to bounce back.
Yeah. But I really liked Asuka's submission game here. And I felt this whole match was really based around submissions, which it should be, really. You've got the Asuka lock, you've got the disarm her, you've got the figure eight.
Which is really going to play into a ladder match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. and kendo sticks.
Yeah, well, quite.
But I thought Asuka was so good. And I think Asuka, of course, learnt her trade, her craft in Japan. But the Charlotte and Becky's have been brought up with that Sara Del Rey school, who's very into their submissions. That's why a lot of the women's have better looking submissions than the guys these days.
Well, I don't know. Shane McMahon had a pretty great triangle on this show.
He's the best in the world, though. He's on another level.
Well, yeah, can't quite compete with him.
But yeah, I really liked Asuka's stuff. There was one brilliant bit where near the end, this was sort of the end bit, where Asuka goes for a moonsault. Charlotte went for a moonsault near the end, which she hadn't hit previously. Asuka gets the boot up. Charlotte sees this, stops, catches the boot on the way down, going to do her own submission, but Asuka gets that into a rear naked choke.
Yeah, she rolls her up into a pinfall, and then from that transitions it into the Asuka lock, and it was really cool, and then they spilled to the outside. I thought it was a wicked spot prior to that, when Charlotte went for the spear, and Asuka countered it into like a code breaker. I thought that was a really, really nice spot. Some really, really good action in this.
And we should also, I don't know if I want to compliment or just be in awe of that Asuka German suplex onto Charlotte's head.
Crikey, right at the start. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hot way to start.
It really was. That literally is my notes. Like, well, this has started off hot.
Yeah, it wasn't like Nakamura exploder suplexing Cena dangerous.
Or Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan.
But it was, that was you coming down pretty vertically there, Charlotte.
Yeah, she really was. And then they fall to the outside. And then Charlotte, like the baby face that she is that Ollie Davis has been talking
she's
about for the last couple of weeks, grabs a kendo stick, realizes that she's lost the match, and just starts waffling her with the kendo stick. Just like a baby face would.
No, it's classic. Classic babyface tactics. I'm going to take all my competitors out ahead of the big title match this Sunday.
I know I've got this match lost, just like she had the match lost at Survivor Series, and that's why she took out Ronda Rousey with the kendo stick.
Charlotte, Ricky Steamboat. One and the same in terms of straight-laced, blue-eyed babyfaces.
Oh, Sting used to do this all the time when he was just that surfer, blue-eyed babyface.
But that's what happened. Charlotte attacks Asuka with a kendo stick, which jars somewhat with the TLC theme. Like, you had all these ladders around the ring.
Right.
Like, you get a kendo stick?
Yeah.
Someone posted on Reddit as well, like, who's the person who's into kendo? And I never really thought about this.
Mm.
Apparently kendo's quite a niche martial art. I just assumed a stick was from the place of kendo.
I think they just, well, because it used to be a Singapore cane, didn't it? Yeah. And they just renamed it. But I think they just, it's just become a staple of wrestling, really, isn't it? It's just, it is a wrestling weapon.
Was it a Steve Blackman thing?
No.
Did he call it kendo sticks?
No, he had like the little tiny sticks, didn't he? His little drumming sticks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but Charlotte uses the kendo stick, which is there from the Survivor Series Ronda Rousey match. So it is thematically consistent, and she beats up Asuka. Becky, awesomely. Just like, okay, see you later.
I'm off.
Doesn't run away, just walks off.
Yeah, I'm done with this, mate.
Yeah, and Charlotte attacks her, and Becky takes a few bumps.
Like a baby face.
Like a total baby face. And Becky took a few bumps here, at least, which gives us hope that she is super cleared.
I think she's definitely working Sunday. She's definitely there for Sunday.
And then Becky came back on Charlotte. She got the kendo stick. She was hitting everyone like a total baby face. And then Asuka got the kendo stick at the end and beat them both up with possibly the worst camera work of the year.
Oh my God.
Oh.
My note here is just like, this would be so much better if it wasn't directed by Kevin Dunn. It was so difficult to watch.
So Asuka's on the announce table. Becky's draped, I think, on the announcer's table. Charlotte's on the floor. Asuka's got the kendo stick. Hits Charlotte. Hits Becky. Hits Charlotte. Hits Becky. Over and over again, really quick. Great spot. I wish I could have seen it, because Kevin Dunn is zooming in, zooming out, zooming in, zooming out on every strike.
It was horrendous. Oh my God, it was I don't suffer from motion sickness, but it was awful to watch.
I fell over and I was sitting down when I watched that.
It was gross.
Yeah, but Asuka stands tall on the go home show.
Poses like the Sandman.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm the Sandman. No, I'm the best Sandman. Sandwoman.
Sand person.
Well, Becky is the man.
Yeah.
She's now also the Sandman.
Yeah, I was going to say, Asuka is now the Sandman.
Yeah, that's my only criticism. I just think, like, seeing these three there, unlike, it's weird how Raw did a better job building up the TLC concept for a match that they don't have a TLC. Well, I guess Baron's in the TLC match.
Yes, but our theory is that that's not happening.
Mm. Whereas, just the visual at the end here, I thought this was just going to be a three-way.
Mm-hmm.
When I think you should have had, you know, Asuka just standing on top of a ladder after beating them both down with a chair would have been better.
Yeah. So, to the question of should Asuka win at TLC, I'll be honest, at this point, I'm so invested in these three that I think I could probably be happy with either three of them winning. Probably Charlotte at the bottom.
Yes.
I'd rather Becky retain or Asuka win. I would probably make the argument that Asuka is probably like 0-12 in championship matches in 2018 or whatever it is. So probably another loss doesn't exactly do her a lot of favours. But do we want to be taking the title off Becky? However, the other argument is do we want to be moving Becky away from the SmackDown Championship and start putting her on that path towards Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania and after the Raw Women's Championship?
Totally, yeah. And the way you can do that is have Becky storm through that Rumble and then challenge Ronda at the end
of
it for Mania.
Yeah, Becky in the Rumble, just that to me just seems like it's the best thing ever.
It's just, you look at these three, Asuka, Charlotte and Becky. Becky is over and will be for a few months. You could just stop doing everything with Becky. She'll still be over for 3 months, I think.
Yeah.
Charlotte is Charlotte. She's just always going to be there. She's fine.
Yep.
She's a flair. Whereas Asuka, despite that unbeaten start, which never really caught fire in the way it should have done.
Yeah, they somehow managed to just not really... They didn't know... Basically, they got brought up to the main roster and just didn't know what to do. So they were like, well, they'll have her do squash matches. No, we've done that now. Have her beat all of the Raw roster. Oh, God, we've done that now. Lose?
Give face someone on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Now lose.
Yeah, we'll lose. And then you can lose to Carmella 5 times in a row or whatever it was.
Yeah, so
I hated that summertime.
I think out of the three, Asuka winning the title has by far the most upside. Look, just looking long term. And then Becky, like, especially if Asuka pins Charlotte, That's the way this should go, I think.
You can't do pinning, it's a ladder match.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I keep forgetting, because I thought it was a kendo stick match. but yeah, Asuka climbs to the top. Yeah, and maybe Becky and Charlotte cancel each other out. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some horse women interference. But like,
well, Ronnie's going to be on the show.
Asuka having the title gives Becky something to do on her own brand. Elevates Asuka. Doesn't harm Becky, I don't think, in the slightest.
Nope.
And it creates a lot more feud opportunities.
Yeah, so, yeah. I agree. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
SmackDown opened with some really good video packages, I thought, recapping what's been going on recently and just profiling these two things that are happening tonight, which is the Charlotte and Asuka match we've already talked about, and Daniel Bryan versus Mustafa Ali. So, that was the first I'd heard of it.
Okay, so you and I, we were at the Prince Charles Cinema last night for the Muppet Christmas Carol sing-along.
Great time.
Great time we had. So I saw this when I got home. I was trying to madly avoid, because it turns out the Apprentice semi-finals were on last night. Oh, did you not see this?
No.
Yeah, no. So the final is tonight. The semi-finals were on last night, the interviews.
What?
I know, right? I found that out when I was on the tube, because I went onto Twitter and it was like, happening live now. The Apprentice was like, oh, God, get away, get away, get away. But yeah, then I also happened to see that WWE had announced that there was going to be a first time ever meeting between Daniel Bryan and 205 Live's Mustafa Ali. So here's me, and I think I'm not alone in this, because based on the stuff that people have been saying on Twitter, everyone was like, God, this is going to be great. This would be a really good opportunity to show off Mustafa Ali, a really good time to show off 205 Live, really hopefully put some credibility behind that name, put some credibility behind the division, and these two will just have an absolutely stonking match. I don't really think that's what we got, though.
Mm. Well, I would argue that is, and I'm definitely guilty of this myself. I think when WWE announce something sometimes, or they do certain storylines, we, as very passionate fans for wrestling, we just sit back and go, oh, they can go this way, they can go that way. So when you hear this kind of match, I think it's easy to confuse what I want to happen with what I think, what I need to happen. And really, on paper, I've got zero problem with this, because Daniel Bryan is defending his title on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he made Mustafa Ali look excellent. He gave him a bit of offense. He got the upper hand before the break. But then, yeah, ultimately, Bryan should beat him, because he's the WWE champion.
100%.
And who's Mustafa Ali? I know who Mustafa Ali is, but the larger audience, you want to get them to buy TLC this weekend, or buy, subscribe to the network. And if one of the featured matches, the guy in that defending his title, is kind of on the ropes to a guy you've just seen, yeah, that helps Mustafa Ali a lot. But that, like, right now, Brian should be the focus.
Okay, but we've never said this about AJ when he was facing Andrade Cien Almas, and Almas was getting the better of AJ, and these two had a really good match, which put over Almas in defeat.
But that wasn't the go-home show.
But still, it was a show that where Daniel AJ Styles was going to be defending the WWE Championship at some point. Mm. Like, I still think the same point stands. I just think, for me, this would have been a great opportunity, because I think this is the best way to use the Cruiserweights. Actually get them on the shows. It doesn't. Yes. They don't have to just be on Raw. Get them on Raw, get them on SmackDown, use them on NXT. Just have them all over the place and put on really, really great matches where they can show off what they can do, because they have got an awesome, awesome division. Mm. And like, Mustafa Ali tweeted out an image that when he got back into Gorilla, what he saw was like the other stars of 205 Live watching the monitor.
Bless him.
And being like, maybe this is our chance. This is our time that we're now going to be used on TV a little bit more. I just think, maybe it's just me, but I thought this might have been a slight wasted opportunity into not showcase Mustafa Ali more than just being here to... Because otherwise, if you're just going to have Daniel Bryan dominate and win, then don't have it be, let's have it be any old random jobber.
Well, let's go through what happened, because I wouldn't say he was dominated, and I think he did look really good coming out of this. And I think Mustafa Ali is now in everyone's consciousnesses, minds. And next week, or the week after, is when he can really test Jeff Hardy.
You do realize he's never coming back to SmackDown
live? Yes, I know. Unfortunately. So Daniel Bryan comes out, and he just cuts an excellent promo.
He's so good.
Really good. He says, "Last week I called you people sheep, and I'm out here to apologize. To the sheep, because that was unfair. You're more like parasites."
Yeah.
He was brilliant. His delivery.
He had this amazing line where he's like, "In parasites, you just move on to the next thing. Mm. And at the moment, you are parasites that are lurching on the sofa."
Lurking.
Lurking. No, it's not quite Lars Sullivan lurking. "You are leeching onto the sofa into the house that AJ Styles built." Love that
line.
That's great.
But as he's talking, he's interrupted by Mustafa Ali. And of course, we know they're going to face each other from the very well set up video package at the start of the show. And Ali gets in the ring and he says, "I'm Mustafa Ali." And Brian cuts him off and says, "I know who you are. I know you're the heart of 205 Live. You're an incredible wrestler. But we shouldn't put on a match for these people.
These people don't deserve to see this match."
Yeah. And what I really liked about this is a classic heel move.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's done in a cowardly way.
Yeah.
Like, No, I mean, these people, don't, you know, be a nasty guy with me, and you get out of it that way because you don't want to wrestle. I don't feel like that was Brian's motivation. He genuinely believed the fans didn't want... He's happy to wrestle Ali.
Yeah.
But
he's going to win.
The fans don't deserve it.
Because you're all fickle. Mm. You're all fickle, and you do not deserve to have this match. But I love this, because like, Mustafa Ali then sort of turned around, and he was like, "What happened, man? Me and the other 205 Live boys in the back, we used to look up to you because you were the underdog in a land of giants, yada, 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 all this, that, and the other." And Brian, and this is a brilliant character trait. If he's getting an argument that suddenly he realizes that he's on the wrong side of, he'll just change the conversation to one where he can be on the right side of it. It's just like, let me ask, what car do you drive?
Such a douchebag question.
So good.
And Mustafa Ali says, "You know, well, I drive an SUV." And Brian goes, "Like, really? Well, but you're a small man.
Why do you need such a big car?"
And Ali, you know, says, "Well, I've got a family. I drive them." And as he's answering, Brian interrupts him with a slap
across the face, and then just starts calling him ignorant.
Yeah.
Ignorance. Just slapping across the face. Like, what an ignorant answer that is. Slapping him, saying ignorant. I loved this. And Ali fires back with a Hurricane Runner and a drop kick to the outside, and he does a big old dive to the outside. Good, good start.
But then he goes to break.
And I was going to say, we're going to go to ad break, and then we got another ad break shortly into the match as well. The biggest spot in this match was during an ad break, which is when Ali did the Spanish fly off the top. Like, why would you do that in the commercial break? Like, I hate the fact that SmackDown...
Yeah.
There was only one match on the show that didn't have a commercial break in it, which was the 30-second Shane McMahon match that we got later. And it always breaks up flow.
Mm.
And I appreciate the irony of that, because we have ad breaks in this show. But I try and find a point where we're not talking, or we finish talking about a topic, and then there's an ad break and we move on to the next thing. And it's just, it's really annoying then when you have like a big spot like that, the big spot that people might remember from this, and it's in an ad break.
Mm. I see what you're talking about. But then Ali was on top for a bit. Not very long, because it was overall like a very short match of TV time.
Yeah.
More of it happened in the break.
It was about 2 minutes or like maybe 3 minutes worth of actual TV time.
Yeah, Ali goes up to the top, goes for his brilliantly looking inverted 450.
The 054.
But Brian gets out the way, gets Ali's leg, heels it up, smashes the leg on the ring post, does a chop block just like he did to AJ Styles last week. Heel hook or knee bar, whatever it is.
They call it the heel hook.
Yep. And Ali taps to win.
Yeah.
I honestly thought Mustafa Ali looks great. I didn't come out of that being like, like, this is Daniel Bryan. He's the WWE champion.
I get that, but you can make someone look good in defeat.
Yeah, I think he did look good in defeat.
I don't know, man. I disagree. I thought that he looked like any old random jobber that could have been on this show that got a tiny bit of offense. Hey, you know, the jobber's got a tiny bit of offense on Shane McMahon. You wouldn't say that.
I don't know their names.
They're the Vegas boys.
Yeah, but like Brian put over Ali as like, you're an amazing wrestler. Like,
yeah, you say words, but you got to also show people. You show, don't tell.
He did an inverted 450.
He did a move.
He did a Spanish fly off the top rope.
That was in the commercial break.
But we saw it. He did the senton over the top rope.
I think they could have done more to put him over in defeat. That's all I'm asking. What I would say, though, is I thought the finish was great. I thought the finish ruled, and I thought that Brian should have absolutely won. Brian should have been the one that looked better in the match. And Brian dominating him on the outside and beating him up on the ramp, I thought was a really great way to finish off this segment.
Yeah. I think have that match where Ali actually has a really good showing, just beyond like a little highlight reel, really. But you don't do that on the go-home week.
Mm-hmm.
I sincerely believe that, and I think WWE did the right thing here. The commentators, like, I like this. It cut back to the commentators, and they're saying, "Well, you know, this Sunday it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles at TLC."
About to run down the TLC card.
But they get interrupted because Bryan attacks Ali on the ramp.
Feels more really chaotic. I like that. It's a nice touch.
Do you think that was improvised?
No. I think that was always planned. I think they try and make things feel like they do this on SmackDown, try and make things feel slightly more chaotic. It's structured chaos.
It's just curious that I always notice this in Daniel Bryan segments.
Mm.
Like, and I feel like Bryan, if anyone's just going to do what he wants for the benefit of his character, it's Bryan.
Mm.
Like last week, where I think in my head, WWE want to close on Bryan on the table. That's their closing visual from last week. But he didn't. He ran in and started beating up AJ again.
No. I think that this is all structured.
Okay.
I think so.
Oh, we're disagreeing.
We're disagreeing, yeah. And then they ran down the TLC card where they announced the chairs match between Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio that we sort of theorized. Well, we theorized a couple of weeks ago when Randy was attacking him with a chair.
So it's going to be TLCG then?
Yes, TLCG K with the kendo stick as well.
Tables, ladders, chairs, guitars, kendo sticks. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Ah, now, this next thing.
I was going to say, I'm going to pass this across to you because you were the one who was, you were very much in the, I've booked something better in my head already. I think this is going to be awesome based on what we saw last year. They announced last week there was going to be a rap battle between New Day, The Bar, and The Usos. What we actually got was the New Day hosting a rap battle between The Bar and The Usos. And you loved the rap battle last year.
I thought it was excellent.
What did you make of this year's one?
It didn't have any of the venom. I thought that Cesaro and Sheamus were going to be goofy and not do good rapping because, you know, they're not of the same.
It's not their gimmick.
Yeah, it's not their gimmick. Thank you for saving me there. And
you're welcome.
And Sheamus and Cesaro, I thought they could at least, because you can say essentially a poem. So you just have to cut a promo that rhymes, and sure, that can pass as a rap in this WWE rap battle. I'm thinking Louis Theroux when he does the rap battle.
It's one of my favourite episodes.
Like that, you just need good scripted material.
So you wanted with Sheamus going, I'm Louis Theroux.
Yeah. Or just like have some stuff that has, you know, Naomi's better than you, or just the usual well that WWE go to when they script these kinds of things. But they didn't. They had Sheamus and Cesaro doing just a Vanilla Ice
acapella. They were dressed up as Run DMC. Sheamus had like the Scotty Too Hotty lid with the hole cut in the top so his mohawk could stick through. And then they did Ice Ice Baby, but replaced it as Ice Ice Shamey. Hey man, I laughed. I did laugh. I thought it was funny. I thought they were very funny in what they did. I thought they looked funny. It made me laugh.
Yeah, but fine, okay, you do that, But that's your opening bit. After that, the Usos should come back and do, you know, a really great thing.
Well, this
touch on reality. Yeah. And then the Bar come back and actually do their own good material. But that's not what happened at all.
Well, I think I preferred it this way, slightly, where you had the Bar kind of lowering themselves to their level, did something very goofy and try to make the people laugh. Then the Usos did their rap, which is actually the bit of the segment I didn't really like because I didn't think what they did was particularly great. Like last year, what you touched upon there is they touched upon like real life things or like things that people usually don't really talk about. That, or that's a bit taboo, saying things like that.
Wasn't there even a reference to Paige's sex tape?
Last year, yeah, absolutely. But they didn't do that. They just sort of said they made a reference to Matt Hardy, then said, oh you were in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie playing Rocksteady. And then you got your teeth knocked out by a post. And
yeah.
But what I liked about that was then the Bar were just like, nah, I've had enough of this. And then just beat everyone up and stood tall.
Yeah, I just, I was wrong. I thought they would try and do a similar level of realism, a sort of work shoot thing as the last rap battle.
So are you saying that I was right?
I'm saying I'm wrong. I don't know if that necessarily means you win.
It was not as good as last year's.
Then we got an Asuka video promo. She's going to win the title on Sunday, and she'll beat up Charlotte tonight.
Yes.
Most of the promos on this show are, I'm going to win the title on Sunday. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet,
that's what,
man.
You need.
Absolutely.
We don't need 15-minute Nia Jax semi-yelling in-ring promos.
Talking to our hands.
Yeah, just 30 seconds in there.
Yep.
Then we got The Miz, speaking of in-ring promos. He's got the best in the world trophy in the ring, and he's begging Shane McMahon to come out. And he does, and Miz pitches to him, that's become a tag team.
Yep, we're on this train again of like, we're going to be a tag team together, we're going to be the best tag team in the world. I've arranged for us to have a match. And he calls a referee down, and he sets up these two lads called the Vegas Boys, because they were in Vegas for this show. And and then they had this match, which was full of Shane McMahon potatoes, a botched float over DDT, and a horrendous triangle.
Mm.
And Shane won.
I think the gimmick was that Miz had paid the referee, or like duped the referee into coming out, paid these jobbers.
No, he'd said to the jobbers, it gets revealed later on, because Paige is backstage yelling at the referee saying like, why did you go out for that match? And he said, Miz told me it was a sanctioned match. And the Vegas Boys come in sort of holding up their necks because they've been beaten up by Shane McMahon, and they hand over their invoice saying Miz said we'd get paid $5,000 each for this match. Paige tore up the invoice and sent them on their way.
Shane's like, I don't really want to do this, but then when the jobbers attack him in the ring, or the enhancement talent, that's been nice, attack him, that's when he just unloads and beats them in quick order. It was, those punches were just, I found it quite embarrassing.
Yeah, there are a couple of shots on WWE.com, which is like Shane McMahon just literally punching these people in the face.
And it really felt like, my dad is the boss of this company. I do what I want.
I'm the best in the world.
But like not even in a funny way, where like after a while, the best in the world thing was just funny from We Got Trolled. I didn't like this at all, really.
I think the storyline sucks, man. I think this really, really sucks.
Barn Burner had a report yesterday. So take with a huge pinch of salt that Miz and Shane will wrestle for the trophy at WrestleMania.
Oh, I can completely believe that. I thought that's where we were building to something at WrestleMania anyway.
Next up, we had Randy Orton come down to the ring, and he sort of sized up a few chairs at ringside and picks one up. And he's like, ooh, this will make a fine weapon. I think he's very good at being this, like, hearing voices in his head.
That's pretty much like all my notes were. Randy Orton came out from a promo. Good, great, lovely stuff. It's like it literally is the Alan Partridge shrug of just like, don't care, mate. I really could not care.
But he was gonna. You know, he was building up his chairs match.
There
with
are
Ray.
Fun fact for you: there are almost as many pictures for this segment in the SmackDown archives than there were for the tag match that came afterwards. There were 16 photos in this album on WWE.com. It's Randy Orton standing there saying words.
What a specimen, though!
Crikey! If you
He's
could
the
build,
apex predator.
If you could build a wrestler from the ground up,
and he sort of does the thing where he says, "Look at this clip on the screen," and it's him destroying Ray's neck in various segments. You're like, oh, okay, so the chair, because I forgot about all that.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, why is it a chair match? I was like, oh, yeah, because that's the whole build.
Yeah, he's been attacking him with chairs for the last 3 weeks.
But Randy says, when everyone else is thinking about TLC, you'll only be thinking about the three most dangerous letters in WWE. R, K, ow.
Yeah, because...
he got attacked by a chair from Ray.
Yeah, and then he ran away.
Mm. Cool. Got a 619 as well.
I don't think he actually hit the sixth one. I think he got set up for it. Okay, but then he didn't actually hit it, yeah.
And then there was a Becky Lynch promo backstage, just being awesome.
Yep, being great.
But then it came back and it was Rey Mysterio Jeff Hardy. Wasn't it?
No, you've written completely the wrong people here. It was Rusev and Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe, not Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton and Samoa Joe, as you've written here.
You're right.
Your first note even says Nakamura comes out in a blue onesie.
You are completely right. I was confused about how that previous segment seemed to build up this match and Randy left.
Clearly this match had such an impact, had such an impact on you that the people involved in the finish weren't even mentioned in your notes.
I must have written down... because I write down the segment titles first, and then I do my notes.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, I assume it's going to be this now.
Why is Rusev coming out, though?
But yeah, Nakamura came out in a blue onesie.
Yeah, in his PJs.
I thought he looked cool. He did a bit more of his old entrance, and I just thought, man, what an entrance that was.
Yeah, I know.
I miss good.
Well, we said this when we did our Patreon review of NXT TakeOver Toronto. Mm. They're like, man, I miss that babyface Nakamura of everyone singing along with the entrance theme. God, it was awesome.
It's difficult because I really like that, but I prefer heel Nakamura.
Yeah, well, if he gets on TV at the very least. Still, I mean, I guess he's sort of got a storyline now. With Rusev.
With Rusev, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that stretches back to Crown Jewel.
It does, yeah.
Just pointless.
Ad break. Carmella and R-Truth came out to do a dance break. Yeah, the dance break gets shown on TV, but the wrestling match, that has to be stopped for an ad break.
It is only 5 seconds.
Hey, man.
I think there are more... I would cut off a few promos of people saying, I will win on Sunday. Over the dance break. I get a kick out of the dance break. Yep. And just our truth afterwards going, proceed.
Also, and they might be the number 30 entrants in the Royal Rumble, so you've got to put them over, haven't you? Anyway, Rusev won.
I thought Rusev had a really good fiery hot tag.
And Lana on the outside cheering him on looked really, really great. I'm a big, big fan of Rusev. Love Nakamura. Love Joe. Loved Hardy. Love the fact that these two feuds that aren't actually connected to TLC because... at the time of this recording, none of these four are on the TLC card, but SmackDown, just keeping those plates spinning, just keeping that pot boiling, ready for when we get past TLC and we can carry on these feuds on there. I think this was an excellent segment.
Yeah, it was good. It was just the star power in the ring as well. Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton. Man, I thought Joe and Nakamura were just like a great... oh, just man. A great visual.
Former NXT foes. Now the best of friends because they're both heels.
The only thing I would have changed, I think, the finish was Rusev off this really good, angry, fiery hot tag. Don't look at my notes. I know I've written that wrong.
Let me
finish my point and then you can point out what an idiot I am.
Okay.
So Rusev has this fiery hot tag, but then Nakamura comes back. Jeff takes out Joe, and then Nakamura's going to do the Kinshasa, but Rusev hits a super kick and wins.
The magic kick, yeah.
Now, they're in the feud, so I would have preferred to have had Rusev beat someone else. Like, Rusev beat Joe.
I don't mind beating the champion in a tag match to set up you getting a singles opportunity then, a championship opportunity for that title. Do you want to read what your note says?
What I've written here is I would have had Rusev beat Randy. But of course what I meant was Joe.
Yeah. Your notes are a cacophony of nonsense.
I think I was making coffee in this match. Then we got Miz and Shane backstage. Shane McMahon comes up and confronts Randy Orton. confronts the Miz backstage. You know, for like, why did you get those guys to attack me, buddy? And Miz tugs at the heartstrings here. Like, Miz did a very good puppy dog eye performance.
This is the first time that Miz felt like he was actually turning babyface.
He said that he really wants to be a tag team with him, Shane. I've never been called the best in the world before, but when we won that trophy, I was. And he extends his hand for a handshake, but Shane just walks away.
Like a heel.
Yeah, and usually you would have the camera go in on Miz, and Miz would go from the sad face to the, I'm going to get your face. But this one, he just looked, yeah, just looked like a beaten up puppy.
Just sad. Mm. Yeah.
And then AJ Styles said he's going to win at TLC.
Yeah, we also got another promo for Lark Sullivan, who is passing.
Lurking Sullivan. So yeah, I thought this was a totally solid show.
Yeah, completely agree.
I mean, smack bang in the middle for me. I'm really happy that people can be very pleased by stuff if they're going away thinking, well, that's a SmackDown. That was a 5 out of 5 flawless show with at least 3 fantastic all-time great segments.
Yeah.
I'm happy that there are people out there who can watch this episode and be that happy.
Well, I think that going by this past year, the way that the wrestling community are online is that Raw can never do right. And if it does do something modicly right, it's a fine show. It's an average show. But SmackDown can do no wrong. So when SmackDown puts on an average show, it's the best show ever. So I thought it was, smack bang. I gave it a high smack bang in the middle or a low smacktastic. Take your pick. But yeah, I thought it was a very, very solid show. Mm. And I'm excited for TLC. Maybe not the Randy Ray match, but I am excited for the three-way for the tag titles. I'm excited for the triple threat for the women's title. And I'm excited for AJ Bryan.
Yeah, there's a lot of matches on there.
I keep saying I was going to read this email out, so I'm finally going to get around to doing it. This is a...
We're out of time. We've got to go.
This is from The Assange, who does sign off his email saying, I do have a real name, but I prefer to go by my unpronounceable alias on the internet. So this is a WrestleTalk Get Better. Hello, Luke. Sorry for the long message. This is something I really wanted you guys to read. I'd be honored if you could read this out in the podcast, but if it's too long, that's fine. I just wanted you guys to know that how much you've helped me in the last years and to thank you for all the great work you've done. So here it says, hello, Luke, and possibly Ollie/Laurie, since Luke's the only one on all the podcasts.
Sorry about that, folks.
It's true. Well, Ollie just hates NXT and just thinks it's a smelly product full of losers and doesn't want to be associated with it.
Call me Ollie Takeover.
Just comes in here and then pretends. He literally sits down and goes like, all right, guys, what happens on the NXT shows? So I know what, like when I do the NXT review, I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Hey, it still beat you. In the Wrestle League.
Yeah, I know, but our lady partners also beat us whenever they do their predictions. Maybe that's the key to it. You just but don't watch
they?
Wrestling.
Would they over systematic months? That's the point of the Wrestle League, to take out chance.
We did forget an addition to the Wrestle League when we were going through like all the pay-per-views that are going to be happening before the Rumble. NXT TakeOver Blackpool.
Right.
NXT UK.
So that's in January.
Yeah. Like January 12th or something. I think we're going to go to it, aren't we?
Are we? It's in Blackpool. That's far away.
Well, I know. We're going to make a weekend of it.
Are we?
Well, I thought that's what we talked about. Yeah. Go up on the Saturday, enjoy TakeOver, then do the tapings on the Sunday. Fun weekend away, mate.
Why do you come up with these things?
We had a conversation about it when it was announced. Wow. When it was announced, we literally had a conversation about going. Because we've got people that might be able to get us connected.
I think that might have been like, oh, that would be nice. If I ever say, oh, that would be fun, I wouldn't schedule that in. Think about it.
Well, I think we should, but that's just me. Anyway, back to the Assange's email. This is more of a WrestleTalk Get Better, but I really wanted to thank you guys for all your incredible work over the last years and tell you how it helped me. I discovered this channel about 2 years ago when it had around 10,000 subscribers and every episode started
that's incorrect.
Already?
2 years ago.
Mm.
We had like 100,000.
I think when I joined you were at 300,000.
That's not to take anything away.
Well, hey, here is where it is. Maybe he's just misspoke here because every episode started with $1 a month. That's all we ask. And that was well before my time, which really turned me away at first glance. Back then, I'd just finished school, brackets, Germany, and had gone to study psychology in the Netherlands. That's where Peter Pan's from. However, since this is a really bad time for me, I just turned 18, I was incredibly afraid of other people and I hated my university, my roommates, my former friends, because at this time I only had about 2 and my life in general. Sorry if that doesn't quite come across as how you meant it, but I did read that verbatim. Towards the end of the year, it got worse and worse since I got rejected by multiple girls that I liked and the only friend that I had in university dropped out. I spent my New Year's Eve of 2016 into 2017 crying for over 2 hours, and at one point I even found myself holding a knife and just staring at it, thinking about what to do next, and it would be easier to end it all. These thoughts stayed and worsened over the year, the course of January and February, until one day I really needed something to change. Sorry, paragraphs, mate. The next day, I talked to my family about these issues.
You can't correct someone's grammar in the same breath as them saying they contemplated suicide.
But we know it gets better. So
Okay.
That was my mindset.
This is the, you're working him over.
Exactly.
There was a hope spot.
There was a hope, yeah, we get to the hope spot. The next day, I talked to my family about these issues I was having in the course of the month. I dropped out of university and started applications for the German police in all the different states and started training for the test. That was around the time of the first ever Wrestle Ramble, where the WrestleMania 33 predictions got uploaded, and I started watching and listening religiously. I continued to get better and better, and towards the end of the year, 1 week away from my first physical evaluation for the police department, I got the message that my right eye had worsened in visual power and that I only had 10% in contrast to my left eye.
Oh, wow.
That's without a flaw, and that was the difference. I could never be accepted into the training. Man, that sucks. My wife, her friend was trying to get out of working in TV. It's where my wife works in. And she had just decided, I'm done with being in TV now. I'm going to go and do something else. So she went to a training to be an air stewardess, because that's what she'd always wanted to do. She always wanted to be an air stewardess. She went down there, spent the whole day getting ready at Heathrow. I believe it was at Heathrow. And the first thing they have you do is they have you hold on to the top of the thing and then reach out for something else. And she was just slightly too short to reach it, and they were like, "We cannot accept you. You cannot. Whoa. You cannot proceed any further.
You are not tall enough to be on this ride."
Exactly. Unless you could do that motion, then that was it. You were just like, "That was it. Your whole day's over."
Wow.
Yeah, man. So it sucks when there's just like there's slightly one thing that just means that you can't do the thing that you wanted to do.
I'm like that with the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Just miss out on
every
discipline, yeah.
Yeah, every... Well, it's because I'm waiting for them to do Street Fighter at the Olympics, and then, like, my training...
Kenny Omega can do it for you.
My training will finally pay off. For some reason, though, back to the email, it didn't bother me at all. 1 week later, I was at what is now my university and delivered my application to study a course as an English and, pedagogy teacher?
Pedagogy is the study of learning.
Really?
It's how you teach, like a pedagogy. Yeah, I can't say it.
I've never heard that word before. Every day is a school day. And it literally will be for you as well, by the looks of this. I'm now in my second semester, and so far I've passed all of my courses, and I'm just really happy. Also, back on New Year's Eve 2017 into 2018, the girl that used to be my friend at my old university invited me over to her New Year's Eve party, where I got to know her best friend, who has now been my lady partner for 9 months.
Yes.
And even though she sometimes really hates Ollie, she's the greatest person I've ever met. So,
what?
So thank you.
How did I factor into this?
Well, it's because you're not on every podcast.
I hope that's the reason.
Yeah, so thank you, guys. Throughout these years, every time I come back to the hard day at work, when I've been dealt a setback, or even when I simply just not feeling well, I can always count on one or two WrestleTalk videos being there for me, cheering me up and distracting me from all the crap that was going on. I'm now really proud to be a pledge hammer and giving you something back for all the great things you've given me. Thank you so much. Sincerely, Assange. I do have a real name, but I prefer to go by my unpronounceable alias on the internet. Well, thank you so much for your get better. Thank you so much for your letter. It's lovely.
I great stuff that you've improved and that your life's in a better place now. To me, though, I just hear I didn't like Patreon and now I like Patreon, which means we've converted you to giving us money, which is the best. That's the best possible outcome for us.
It's an upsell.
It's an upsell.
Yeah. Even if his lady partner, quote, hates you.
Yeah. Just don't forget that we are the cause of everything that's gone right for you. That's the worst thing you could do. To ditch us would be to sabotage your own life now, I think. Because I'm taking not full credit, but about 90% credit for Assange's incredible journey there.
I might take 2% of.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I do so little around here. I think that's a good number. And lastly, to round off this podcast, let's have some bad jokes, or just some jokes. Maybe they'll get some laughs out of Ollie Davis. First up from Mark Ferguson. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and the trustworthy one, El Fakador. I've been a listener constantly for a year now and love the consistently great content. Get that, get out of that one, Luke. I said you're consistently great. Wanted to email you now for a while with some crap jokes, but there's just about getting around to it. I'll also be emailing you my Rusev Hey soon as well. So these range from the style of style of jokes to Ollie's. Right, so some of them I'm not sure I'm going to be able to read out on this family friendly podcast.
Can you test the rim, as it were?
Well, is that one of the jokes?
Can you really push the rim and see
the boundaries?
What's the nastiest joke you can get away with saying on this show?
I think it's just like there are some of them that I've read out where I'm like, I really wish I hadn't read that out. Or I've read them out and I was like, I really wish I'd edited that off the podcast. But they were the ones that made you laugh, which is why I've kept them in. So I might just stick to the nicer side of this.
Okay.
So one of these is a kind of a punchline we've already had before. But what happened when two cheese trucks collided? Debris was everywhere. What kind of underwear do long distance runners wear? Marathongs.
So there's an actual, because I've been looking into this, because oh my God, this is a story for another day. My friend ran a half marathon and he went to the toilet afterwards and his penis was bleeding because of all the chafing.
This is not a story I want to hear.
And he said it's because he was running commando. I said, what the hell did you think was going to happen? Not a horse. And he's got Runderwear. And I thought, well, that is a great brand name.
How has it taken
so
us
good.
To this point for someone to come up with that? Come on now. Back to these jokes. Why do cows have hooves instead of feet? Because they lactose. There you go. That got him. And what kind of apples grow on trees? All of them. Nothing out of the end of that one. I thought that last one might get you. I also like the marathon joke. I thought that was quite a good one.
Although Runderwear is better.
And lastly, Christopher Jenkins. He's the one who's...
Leroy Jenkins!
That's the one. Extra props if Ollie tells the first one to his lady partner. What did the drummer name his two daughters? Anna 1, Anna 2.
Very funny.
Yep. Two goldfish are
I feel like I have to laugh at these because the last time we accidentally offended Jenkins despite doing nothing wrong and he got the complete wrong end of the stick. He went off on us.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. In another side of that, someone had sent us in a poetry corner and then sent me a tweet saying, like, are you going to read out my poetry corner that I sent you? And I was like, we already read it out in the podcast. And he was like, aha, to the archives. Then tweeted me back today saying, like, I've listened to every episode. You haven't read it out.
Ooh.
I went back 3 episodes and I found it. And I emailed us a message and was like, it's on this podcast, probably around this point here.
Take that.
He sent in another one, though, so we're going to read that out on the Saturday show. It's not an NXT-based one, so I'm going to save it for another show.
I'm a... last thing, because we need to wrap this up, but I'm doing a live poetry reading on Friday in front of people.
No! Are you really?
I am, yeah.
Do you want to read this poem?
Oh,
you got your own one?
Not now. No, I've got two. I've got two... which made someone cry on Monday.
No way.
Yeah, I went serious.
Holy heckins.
But then the other one is horrendously explicit. And it's just kind of like a joke one, but I think it's very funny. But I am worried that if it doesn't go down well, I might not be welcome back anywhere ever again. I'll let you know how it goes next week.
Well, okay, which means then the Saturday show... granted, it will have gone out after your live performance, but you and I are going to do a test run, and you're going to read a lot of our Poetry Corner submissions.
Okay.
How many Poetry Corner submissions we got? We've got 3.
So okay, that'll be warm-up. Apparently, I read too fast because I'm used to doing the news, and you shouldn't do that with you shouldn't yell poetry at people.
Yes, including your one, Jared, so we're going to be reading that out on the next one, which is about Randy Orton and Rey Mysterio's feud. So lastly, back to Leroy Jenkins. Two goldfish are in a tank. One says to the other, do you know how to drive this thing? tank.
Right, okay, yeah. Got it.
That's all we've got time for on this show. We'll be back tomorrow with the NXT review, myself and Laurie Blake. And then we'll be back on Friday with the prediction show for TLC. And then we'll be back on Saturday for the magazine show, then on Monday for the TLC review, and then the Raw and SmackDown stuff. And then we've got a whole host of content going up over the festive period. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.